This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog, Barnaby, loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
I'm Gretchen Rubin, and this is A Little Happier. I created a personality framework called The Four Tendencies, and I've spoken about it a lot on the Happier podcast. If you want to find out if you're an upholder, questioner, obliger, or rebel, you can take the free quick quiz at quiz.gretchenrubin.com. For this little story, it's enough to know that obligers are people who readily meet outer expectations, but they struggle to meet inner expectations. They keep their promises to other people, but they often have trouble keeping their promises to themselves. Sometimes, when outer expectations become too heavy, an obliger can fall into obliger rebellion, which is when an obliger meets expectations, and then suddenly that obliger snaps and says, "This I will not do." Sometimes it's small and funny. Sometimes it's huge and dramatic. Sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it's destructive in the way it blows up a situation. Sometimes it's directed at other people, like, "I'm not going to answer your emails for 2 weeks," or, "I'm quitting this job where you exploit me." And sometimes it's turned toward the self, with ideas like, "With the boss I have, you think I can exercise? No way." And sometimes obliger rebellion can take the form of what seems like indulgent, but in a way that seems almost angry or resentful, like, "I'll show you. I'll eat this entire bag of chips." But who are you showing? This pattern is quite common, but it can seem mysterious, so I can't resist quoting at length from Karl Ove Knausgård's memoir, Summer. And I apologize to any Norwegian speakers who are out there because I'm sure I butchered his name. I am a huge fan of Knausgård. I've read thousands of pages of his voluminous autobiographical work. Knausgård's writing makes it clear that he's an obliger, and in the essay, Ice Cream, he writes about an episode that strikes me as an obvious example of obliger rebellion. Here's the story he tells, lightly edited. "Often the children say, 'But Daddy, didn't you say you weren't going to eat ice cream and sweets anymore?' 'I did say that,' is my answer then, 'but the weather is so nice today.' 'You ate ice cream yesterday too, and then it was raining,' they say. 'It's just an excuse you use.' 'Oh, well,' I say. 'Why shouldn't you eat ice cream and goodies?' the youngest one asks. 'Because it makes you fat when you get to be as old as I am. You lot can eat as much as you want, but I can't.' 'It's true that you've become fat,' the eldest one says. 'She is as thin as a rake, no matter what she eats.' 'So can I have another ice cream then?' the youngest said, 'since I can eat as much as I want.' 'No, you can't,' I said. 'Why not?' he said. 'Because you're a child and because you're under my control. But I can eat two ice cream cones,' I said. 'No, you can't,' the eldest said. 'Oh, yes, I can,' I said. Stuffed what was left of my wafer into my mouth, stood up and walked over to the kiosk, bought a pistachio cone, and walked back to where they were sitting. They looked on in shock and consternation as I proceeded to eat it. 2 ice cream cones in a row? In their world, that was something totally unheard of. How come I never thought of that before?' I thought as I sat there eating and gazing out at the sea with the children's eyes fixed on me. Why have I never eaten two ice cream cones in a row before? The children still remember that time, even though it was 3 years ago. To them, it was a demonstration of force, since they didn't get another ice cream, no matter how much they nagged me. To me, it was a joke. Although the joke also had a hint of seriousness to it, since it made me understand that I really could do whatever I wanted. That I used that freedom to eat two ice cream cones in a row also gave me a thing or two to think about. I'm fascinated by the pattern of obliger rebellion. Now that I know to look for it, I see it often. I'll put a link to Knausgaard's work in the show notes. And next week, I'll have another story from Knausgaard. I'm Gretchen Rubin, and I hope this makes your week a little happier.